Hello, and welcome to episode 149 of the Arena Regulars podcast. I'm Zach.
And I'm Jeff.
And we're a source for drunken Magic the Gathering Arena content.
That's right, just a couple of regular dudes drinking some irregular beers and talking about Magic the Gathering, in particular, the online client MTG Arena.
That is right. But first, each week we do bring a beer, we drink it. We rate it on a scale from bronze to mythic, just like the Tiers in Arena. And so, Jeff, what's on tap? What are we looking at?
All right, this week we have Hatch Pale Ale, which is a pale ale that is allegedly bright and citrusy, and it's from Slake Brewing, which is out of Prince Edward County. That's like wine country out here in Ontario.
The good wine country. None of that
Yeah,
Niagara crap.
get that shit out of here.
Yeah, this is cool. I haven't heard of them before, really, but I think
Same.
we were drawn to it by this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how to describe this can to anyone.
It's
It's
just
like,
like it's chicken scratch, really, you know,
yeah,
which
it
works.
looks like a child drew
There's a picture of a chicken on it.
Yeah.
This is the type of artwork that we would have at the hotel I work at. They always have weird artwork that looks like this around,
Okay.
and then apparently they spend a lot of money on it. I don't understand. I don't get
Interesting.
it, but I don't get it in the sense that for that thing, I think it works great for the can. I
Yeah,
really like it
it's
here.
yeah.
This is where I think it's very appropriate because it was very eye-catching and I bought it. So that makes sense.
Worked.
It worked. All right. So let's crack this puppy open, or this chicken, I guess. So with that, we have some magic news. There was a banned and restricted announcement this last
Oh,
Monday.
juicy.
I
I
know.
think I know what got banned.
What could be changed? I mean, there's so many things that could happen. We knew it wasn't going to be standard because they have told us that they won't do standard bans except for in August, or maybe it's July now, or but it's like 3 weeks before rotation. Whenever rotation is, who knows? The ban announcement was not super exciting for us arena players. It doesn't do anything. Jeff, do you
Well,
want to?
surely there was a ban in Pioneer, which would trickle down to Explorer, right?
That's what we were thinking, but
And
no.
Vein Ripper's got to go.
Well, does it have to go? I don't think that that was the card. The card that was actually banned is for Modern. It's Violent Outburst. It's like the Gruul instant that has Cascade that made Rhinos really good, or one of the cards that helps Rhinos be really good. Now they have
Yeah.
to use Cascade cards that are sorcery speed. So, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know a ton about Modern specifically, but from what I've heard, it seems like it's a good ban.
It is like some of the top decks in Modern, just from me poking into mostly Nasif streams, are Rhinos and Living End and stuff like that are all these cascade spells. And the problem isn't necessarily that the strategies are too powerful, it's that you can do it at instant speed when you really shouldn't be able to. And the big issue is obviously there's the classic, like, I have two of them, I throw one on your end step, you have to blow your counter magic on that, and then I
And then you
untap
do it
and throw
again.
the other one. But the bigger thing is that there's a counter spell that's free if it's your opponent's turn. It's meant to like counter your opponent's stuff, not to protect your own combos. And like throwing that into that mix of like you need like three or four counter spells somehow to stop them from doing this thing, and it's just not, it becomes unreasonable at that
Really
point.
shitty.
Yeah, just don't let them do it at instant speed is the answer. And the
Yeah.
deck's Rhino's still gonna be good. I think Living End is dead because it's like just bad Rhinos now,
Yeah. So
which maybe it always was, but
people who don't know what that actual combo is, it's the card Crashing Footfalls, which is actually on Arena now. So that's one of the reasons I would
true,
like to talk about it.
yeah.
So it's the suspend spell. I think it's like a single green, and it has suspend 4. But basically, it doesn't have a casting cost. You have to suspend it. So effectively, the casting cost is 0, and you create 2 4/4 Rhino tokens.
I think it's three. Is
Is
it?
it 3?
I think it might be three.
Jeez, I got it in a draft, and Well, I had a lot of fun because it's in MKM Limited. It's one of the special
I had
guests.
it in one of my earliest sealed pools, and I just never drew it.
I would draw on turn one a lot, and it was a
Yeah,
blast.
that must be nice.
Yeah, so Crashing Footfalls, it just creates two four
Oh, it's
fours
only two.
with
Okay.
trample, though. They do have trample.
Oh, right. They're trampler. Because I remember it being like tough to
It's a
deal with in
beating.
the early game. But if it's
It's
just like, it's just a chumpable, it makes it a lot worse. But if
yeah,
it's not
it's not
chumpable, that's a big
chumpable.
difference.
No, they're quite nice. I also it, when I was playing the deck that I had with Crashing Footfalls, I also had Yaris. So when they dealt damage, oh wait, no, that's only if they're face down. Do you draw a card? Never mind. I just had a bunch of four fours, I guess.
Lots of trample.
But anyway, so the
Oh, I
combo is
guess it would
just
give them haste. That's pretty sweet.
yes, it does give them haste. Yeah, so the turn that they come down, it's turn four. So
Yeah.
if you can suspend this on turn one, by turn four they come down. You play Yaris and then you attack. That was pretty
Yeah.
fun. Though I will say, so the combo is just like Cascade lets you play the next card on your deck that's cheaper than the Cascade spell. This is Cascade 3. This is the only card in your deck that you can trigger, and that's how all those decks work. It's just a continued of Cascade and Discover are kind of busted, and that's.
Especially in modern, like, because
Yeah.
there are so many free spells that have large mana values that it's like you don't give up any interact, like you give up nothing by making your whole deck cost less or more than three, because it's like none of your cards actually cost more than three.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it just spirals out of hand as they keep printing these better and better, like mana cheating
Good.
cards.
Yeah, it's like Leyline Binding and all that crap where it's like you yeah, that's
And
not
they've like backed themselves into a corner of every Modern Horizons set has to have mana cheating cards now because they just keep doing it and like they're better than the previous
Yeah,
iteration.
well, we have a new one too. Modern Horizons 3 has a mana cheating card.
Yep.
Have we talked about it? I can't even remember.
I don't know if we mentioned it last time, actually.
But it looks not great to me. But I'm also not good at judging these mana cheating cards, honestly.
Yeah.
It's the green one, and so like I'm assuming that they're showing us one of like the least exciting cards right off the bat, I guess. I don't,
Yeah, the green
or
one
like
is
the
usually like
weakest.
sideboard fodder. This one's just like
Yeah.
ramps you kind of.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna read it just so we can everyone's on the
Yeah,
same
now that
page,
we've
but
mentioned
a bunch of
it.
times. But it's called Flare of Cultivation. It's one green green for sorcery, and says you may sacrifice a non-token green creature rather than pay the spell's mana cost. And then it says search your library for up to two basic land cards, reveal those, put one on the battlefield tapped and one to your hand. So it's like a free cultivate if you sacrifice a non-token green creature.
This card seems terrible in
This seems
modern.
horrible,
Like, this is awful. Which I don't understand
really
how this
bad.
is going to see any play.
Like non-token, that's just
Yeah. Like, you would like sack my Llanowar Elf is something is like the dream here.
that's horrible.
That's really bad.
So like you, because you don't really ramp yourself because you got rid of your mana dork. So
Yeah.
you're just turning your. You're basically turning two cards into the same ramp you had before, but an
Oh, here it
extra
is.
land in your
Dryad
hand.
Arbor. There you go. Turn one, boom. Dryad Arbor, sack it. Get a forest, put it into play tapped. Done.
Yeah. So
Get to draw a forest out of that deal.
exactly. And go down a card, discard a card from hand and turn it into a
Yeah.
forest. So this has forest cycling for essentially. I guess technically it's not forest cycling because you could get any basic
Let's
land.
you downgrade a Dryad Arbor into a forest. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems if this is what the other ones are like, then we're not really worried about it. But they probably won't be.
I kind of hope it's a cycle like this, just to say we understand that everyone's expecting a free spell. So here's our off ramp to not having to do that every mountain, right? Like, we're gonna make you not want the free spells anymore by
Yeah.
just.
It's going to be like the blue one is one blue for an instant, and it like gives your opponent's creatures -2/-0 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you discard a card or
Discard a
something.
card. It's like a shitty
Yeah.
fog. Like that's the kind of that's I'm on board for that kind of free
Yeah.
spell. where like they're just trash.
At rare.
Yeah.
That's great.
Where it's like, yeah, just so people can like have them and learn like, oh, this is card disadvantage. Like, it's not, they are obviously really powerful and great and all that kind of stuff. But like, I guess the point behind them originally is that you have to discard an extra card and that makes it worse. But I guess I wonder if all
worse enough.
Yeah, not worse enough. I wonder if these like all of them are going to be sacrifice a non-token blue creature, red creature, or is it just the green one? Because all the other ones,
it'll be
the other cycle, all pitched the same way that Force of Will does, right?
Yeah,
where you exile a card from your hand and lose a life. So
if it's sac a non-token blue creature, that'd be, I don't even know what the effect is, but it's crap. Like,
yeah,
what, you know what you can do that?
Yeah, you can sacrifice your Merfolk Windrobber and then
there you go. Finally, is back on the menu, baby.
Finally there's a use for this fucking card. So I don't know, we'll have to see. It'll be on Arena, it'll be in Timeless.
Totally ready to be proven wrong and be complaining about how busted Flare of Cultivation is.
The Cultivate is... No. Cultivate is not really good.
Oh, it's like, okay, so they're all going to be...
other spells,
yeah,
right?
I see, right.
Because this is literally just free Cultivate, but you have to sacrifice a non-token. Gets me. Like, what?
Yeah.
You can't just be like a stupid little...
But
plant.
Cultivate is so far from being modern playable, so making it sometimes less, like giving it an alternate cost, I don't think is anywhere near good enough to get it.
Because like imagine it would just said like green creature, you could play like Colony Garden, sacrifice the plant, cultivate on turn one.
Right,
like that's interesting.
That's probably why they put non-token.
I know, which sucks. Makes me not want it at all.
Maybe like Titan decks or whatever want this, but even that.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I guess decks where you make everything, like, don't they make everything a basic? They have some weird card that makes everything a basic.
A basic?
And they can search whatever they want.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's just a basic in play or if it's a basic... Anyways,
I'm not really
whatever.
Sure what card you're talking about, but yeah. I don't know.
I feel like there's something like that.
Something, probably. But anyway, we'll see how things shake out with this whole cycle. But I would
if there's no shenanigans, the card is garbage.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what most of them are like. It'll kind of fade into existence like the pact cycle of like the blue one's good and then the rest of them are all like, or not, the blue one's not even good. The blue one was like, of like Pact of Negation, where you,
yeah,
that's the one where you have to like pay 5 mana at your upkeep.
Yeah.
So you don't lose the game.
Yeah. I like that cycle. I dig that.
I liked the black one. The red one like makes a 4/4 or something. And so like.
What I didn't like was the whole thing where you make your opponent copy your pact. And then they have the trigger on their upkeep, but they're not playing the correct colors to pay it.
So that they die?
That was a win con in the old Titan decks. There's this card that like anytime I cast a spell, your opponent gets a copy of it, gets to cast the same spell.
That's so dumb.
And so everyone's spells get copied, but it was like, and we're just going to play a pact that you cannot pay for.
Jeez.
And I was like, well, I'll give you creativity points for alternate win cons, but this is like super not fun.
Yeah, that kind of thing where it's like, haha, you can't tap your mana. It's not the same color as mine. It's like, not.
Yeah.
That's why they have to staple that on all the alchemy cards. Well, I mean, a lot of cards, but like this perpetually gets, you can spend mana of whatever color to play this thing. Anyway, with the ban stuff and we're kind of getting out of modern. Let's come back to what we were talking about.
Yeah, but circle back.
I guess the other thing that happened is that Ponder is no longer restricted in Vintage, which cool for, yeah, cool for you, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the biggest, and we could talk about what people thought might happen in a second, but the biggest thing I noticed just from reading this and from a couple of comments,
Oh, this
the
is.
most of the outrage was just on the sheer number of mistakes that were in this announcement. And like for example, they claimed that Izzet Phoenix was an extremely popular deck in
In
Modern,
modern, yeah.
which it is not.
Not.
Nobody plays it. People are surmising they probably meant Izzet Murktide.
Murktide. They actually changed it. I think it actually says, is it Murktide now?
They fixed it to Murktide now. They also claimed that Ponder was banned in Vintage, and it's like, just
No.
writing those words, you should have
That's
realized
not, they don't ban cards
there's
in
no,
Vintage.
the only card that was banned in Vintage is Lurrus. While they like figured out how to
Because obviously you can't re restrict Lurrus because you only need one ever anyway. Yeah.
And I think there was another one too that was, and these are ones that I kind of picked up and I don't even play Modern. So it's like not very, not great quality control on the announcement.
Yeah, the one other thing I would like to say is that they did like overwhelmingly say that Standard is successfully being revitalized. So
Right.
like it's like tripled in paper sizes, like the number of tickets that they've sold to those Standard events and like stores and stuff has tripled, which is awesome. That's
Yeah, I
fantastic.
mean,
And
hey, I went to one.
yeah, see, there you go. And it's the most popular like digital format, which
Yes,
is also a great thing.
that was true even before they took on this revitalization of
Yeah,
Standard.
but like when they also try to talk about how popular Alchemy is or whatever, I'm like, yeah, but Standard's winning by so much. I just don't know.
Yeah, Standard's winning by a lot. Historic is in second by a lot. And then I think it's like Alchemy. And then I think Explore and Timeless are very low.
Well, also just saying digital format, like are they're including MTGO in this, I'm assuming. That like of all digital formats, all formats that are on digital platforms.
I would guess that they're not, but.
Is Standard not the most
Oh, did they
popular?
word it that way on digital platform?
It said
Like
in it.
nobody plays Standard on MTGO because it's very few people play Standard on MTGO.
Gotcha.
MTGO has basically become like the modern legacy Vintage.
Place
That's where you go to play that.
Pauper Pioneer. But yeah, it just says most played digital format, so
Pioneer, Modern, Legacy, Vintage, Pauper, I
Well,
guess, yeah.
Pauper
Or
Pauper's
even
also,
Commander if you want to play online.
yeah, I guess that's I don't know any Commander players that do that actually,
Yeah.
besides
Just
like,
the guys who are content
yeah,
creators,
Saffron
but
Olive does with like his crew, Goldfish crew, or they used to, but they don't actually. So this is something we should talk about. I'm going to talk about it right now before we get to actually what we were going to talk about. But
Oh,
so all the Fallout cards have come out. This is something we don't talk about a lot because we always focus on Arena. But Fallout and the Universes Beyond cards have been coming out, and usually they have a really big impact on like Legacy because they can be played in Legacy and Commander. But Legacy is obviously a huge format on MTGO, and MTGO isn't getting Fallout cards. Like,
Oh yeah.
yeah, and this happened with
Well, that just means they're not playable in Legacy then, because that's where
basically
the only
most
people
everyone plays. But the thing is, like, and it's because of like IP issues where like they don't have the right contract with the companies that are whatever the company is that makes Fallout to like let them use it on their MTGO platform. And
This
so,
is what the naysayers were predicting so long ago. There would be contract issues with
With
Universes
these things,
Beyond,
yeah, and
and
that
I was like, they'll make
they'll
sure
figure
their
it out,
contract's iron solid, the
but
rock
like
solid.
they
But
don't care about MTGO really, and
yeah,
like they don't, if they
it.
don't care about Arena at all, they don't, really don't care about MTGO, you know what I mean? Like,
If I was a Legacy player, this would just annoy me. Where it's like, you should not have the paper format be different than MTGO in a meaningful way. Like, there are differences because there are random cards that are not on MTGO from Magic's past they didn't bother to code in,
Yeah,
but they're
but
so irrelevant that
it doesn't matter.
you would never notice. This has the potential to now have Legacy paper be an actually different format than online
When full
legacy.
sets, because like Warhammer 40K took a while to get on MTGO. It eventually did, but it was a big issue for a long time. And they're expecting this to be exactly the same or not even come at all. So like, I think this will just probably continue to happen. And I don't know what, I don't play Legacy. I'm not really a part of it, but it
They
makes me
should
sad.
probably just say like Universes Beyond products aren't for Legacy. Like, are the Legacy players actually buying this? Like, they'll buy singles from a store, but they're not
Yeah.
buying packs of Universes Beyond, right?
I would assume no, unless
Right? It's
they're
the
making.
Commander players that are buying those. So
Yeah.
I would just be like, you know what? This is a weird issue. Let's not deal with this anymore. These aren't Legacy playable. They're like a weird side thing.
Yeah, which I would be, I mean, like, I'm not part of it at all.
Obviously, I don't care. My
I
opinion is pretty like not well thought out because this discussion just happened, and I was like, "This is what I would do." But it seems to me like the legacy sharks aren't the people buying the packs, anyways. So.
It's true. I think all that's valid. I just think if I was, you know what? I'm not even going to talk about it because I am not part of it. I just thought it was interesting that this is an issue that is happening and it has happened. It has happened before and it will continue to happen, I'm sure, as we get more and more and they get backlogged with way too many different companies trying to convince different companies to let them do whatever they want for a
Right. Once you let,
continued amount of time.
once you have one contract through the
Slip
door
through.
that's like you're not allowed everything, that opens the door for,
Everybody else, and
yeah.
yeah, it just like slowly slips away, and it's just, I mean, it does feel sad to me, but
Like imagine if paper standard were different than arena standard. That would be a nightmare.
yeah, I mean, like, we already have, like, as soon as we can actually get Pioneer on Arena, that will be huge. It's supposed to happen at the end of the year. Because like the Explorer Pioneer thing is frustrating, which we get into this ban restrict announcement. So we were expecting something different for a different format. I'm Jeff, what was everyone kind of thinking would happen with this
Most
announcement?
people thought they were going to ban Ancestral Recall out of Treasure Cruise out of Pioneer. Yeah, if you've played any Explorer Pioneer, I'm sure you've played against Is It Phoenix, the deck they claimed was good in Modern. It's actually good in Pioneer and Explorer. And mostly the deck sort of shot to popularity. You could see it most on Explorer. Because when Treasure Cruise got added to Explorer, it went from nobody played it to everybody played
Everybody.
it. Without that card, the deck is bad, and with that card, the deck is very, very good. So I think a ban is like you are kind of, you're not totally banning the deck if you ban that card, but it's close. Like the deck was essentially a not like a tier three kind of like. People who still hold on to the past play this deck, but it's not actually good to tier one, like best deck in the format with this card, so.
Which everyone, like, it was the most represented at the Pro Tour at Mirza Karlov Manor. It was like the winningest of, besides like of huge decks, it had done still very well.
Yeah, it's usually a sign for these kinds of things that they should at least have their eye on it when everyone knows what the most popular deck is going to be, and that deck still does very
Really well.
like is still the best performing deck.
Because when people were targeting it and were prepared,
Yeah.
either playing it or knew they were going to play
Like
against it.
everyone had sideboard slots for Phoenix. Everyone like when the pros know that this is going to be the most popular deck. They prepare for it. They bring decks that have good matchups. They stock their sideboards, and if that's still not enough to keep down the win rate of that deck, it usually means that deck is a bit too good.
And like, this is the type of thing that pros were talking about, how Rhinos was too much, especially when there was the whole hullabaloo with like, Rhinos also, I think, was playing they ended up doing the Scion of Draco thing too, or like the ley line of the Guild Pact. That was just like a side piece that they could just like shove in their deck because the rest of it worked so well, and neither of those cards interrupt the combo. So they're like,
Right.
yeah, we could have this too.
Both
That's
very good. They're both
fine.
very expensive.
Four and whatever the Scion is, like, how big is that? I don't remember what.
12? I
12?
think
I
it
believe.
costs two if you have all
It
your
costs
full domain, and it
two
costs two
less for
less for
each one,
each.
so
Yeah.
that makes sense, yeah. But anyway, people are kind of talking about, hey, the pros said something about this modern deck. They need to talk more and be more vocal about the Pioneer decks, because everyone was coming out of the woodwork being like, that's kind of weird that they didn't touch Pioneer at all. I mean, that's surprising to me.
Yeah, I just assumed they would have banned treasures.
I just thought that was obvious, but okay. And so everyone's like, tell them that you need to ban it, please.
They
And
probably don't want to ban it because it just got introduced in Arena so recently.
that is half of it. And the other half is that the Arena Championship is going to be March 30th and 31st,
And
and
Explorer is the
Explorer
format.
is the main concern, or the constructive format.
Right. So when Phoenix dominates that format, then maybe we'll get a ban.
Yes. And so I think they just have to push it off a little bit. But we did just get super excited because it came in Khanzat Tarkir in December. So we're just like, yay. You know what's funny is that, like, I usually am not interested in like Spellslinger decks or Phoenix decks. Like this one, I've played it a little bit, but it hasn't been super exciting. But as soon as it didn't get the Banhammer, I was like, maybe I should be playing Phoenix.
And this is a classic thing too. I just want to point out, like, this is a poster child deck for the type of deck that really, like, it's gonna look more ridiculous in a pro's hands than it really just is
In
when
my
you let it
hands.
loose on the arena ladder. Like, we went through the same thing with, it's always red blue decks, but we went through the same thing with, like, cards getting banned from red blue decks. The pros all crying for the ban because it's so busted, and they're like, well, the arena win rates aren't that high.
Yeah, it's like
And so it's like,
it's a skill issue. It's a skill issue
yeah, so
with
it's like,
people.
yes, if you are playing at the top level, is it Phoenix is probably too good, but most people aren't playing at that level. So do we ban it? Like, do we ban for the competitive scene, or do we ban for, like, arena and just
Vibes.
people who are playing? I think it's a delicate balance. Like,
Yeah.
if it, you know, if it really does, the thing is, people are going to watch the pros and they're going to eventually learn how to play it. So I think you have some time. It dominates the Pro Tour. I think you have a bit of time before you have to take action, because it's going to take the rest of us fools like a few
Yeah.
hundred games to catch up. So,
Yeah, to catch up to the meta like a month ago, like
right, whatever the
it.
pros meta was, like, it's going to take, we're going to have to learn how to play all those decks, and it's not going to take us a week like it took them. So that's one thing. Like, when I play against Izzet, I haven't played Explorer in a little while, but when I played against Izzet Phoenix, it always felt like a really strong deck, but it never felt too good to me.
No.
I actually really liked the matchup. I liked playing against it because it was interesting games. So that's the
I
other part of it too. It's like,
yeah.
it's not one of those decks that's, if it's the best deck, are we super concerned that this is the best deck? Like, this is a skill testing deck that's, in my opinion,
That's
fun to play against. So it's like, maybe this
I
should just be the best deck in the format, and
kind
that's
of
okay.
like of the best decks that we've had in Explorer Pioneer, like this is so much like, is it Phoenix is so much more of a game of Magic than Lotus Field, or like
Totally.
the kind of
Yeah.
mono green was,
Mono green's
annoying,
like
but
right on that boundary, I would
cusp,
say, where it's
like
like,
it was annoying, but like I think on Arena we were blessed with our opponents thinking that Llanowar Elves are lands and
yeah,
not
keeping
realizing that,
the
like, keeping
forest
the
elf draw.
The forest elf, and you just like
Yeah.
keep killing them, then they can't play anything. That was really great. I enjoyed that, and that showed like the huge weakness of the deck. But when
Mono green had a big fail rate too. Sometimes it would just do like pretty much nothing.
You can spin your wheels and just be like, eh, nothing came up. Like, I will storm off a couple times and I just get a bunch of dorks and like another Kioria, and you're just like, it's not, you know, didn't really get there.
Right. It's like your board looks the same as it did last turn, but you
Yeah.
did a lot of stuff.
You tapped things and there's a bunch of like explosions or whatever, but you didn't actually
Exactly.
get to close out the game that turn. So I think Phoenix is also, like you were saying, it's really interesting because it can look like you're like in a commanding lead, and it just takes like one turn for them to like all of a sudden just shoot you out of the sky. All of a sudden they dump all the Phoenixes that they've have in their deck somehow, and then they bring them all back and they attack you for 9 or something. And you're like, wow, oh shit, I'm dead next turn. And
And there's no better feeling than your opponent bringing back that Phoenix. No attacks. You're like, yes, I have him. I'm where I want
That's
him.
true.
The Phoenix on defense, that never
Well,
works.
I was gonna say bringing back the Phoenix, the best feeling is where they have to hard cast the Phoenix on
Oh,
defense.
that's true.
That
Bardcast the
feels,
Phoenix on
yeah.
defense is the ultimate.
Tap 4 mana. Phoenix, no
Yeah.
attack. Then you
I'm
feel
just sitting
good.
there like not crackling Drake, not crackling Drake, not
Yeah.
it's
Oh,
Phoenix.
yeah, that's the one you don't want to see. Crackling
Yeah.
Drake's the one that's like, and that's the fun kind of play of it. So yeah, I think I agree with you that like I think it's fine if it's the best deck.
Yeah.
But most of the time, if people are talking about bans, I'm always just gonna look at what the pros say, because I'd be like, sure, I think that you know more than me. Like, I can admit that like
I acknowledge that you know more
you
than
are
me.
better than
Yeah.
me. You play more games than I do. You are
You
just
have a lot more experience with this particular deck,
and
both playing
matchups
with and against
and
it.
everything. And like, if you think that this is too oppressive, then
I mean,
great.
treasure, on the other hand, Treasure Cruise is nutty. So, like, if they want to ban
Yeah.
Treasure Cruise, that makes sense to me. It's a ridiculous card.
Totally. And I do think that like we had talked about this last week, but like Jim Davis was asking everybody at the Pro Tour what they everybody, all his friends, what
Yeah.
he if there had to be a ban, what would it be? And most of them said Treasure Cruise. They're like, well, Treasure Cruise. But then if they wanted to say something funny, they're like, Lotus Field, because that land is horrible or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I agree with most of.
Yeah, I would actually prefer they ban Lotus Field than
Just
Treasure
get it
Cruise
out. Just get it
by a
out.
lot, by a lot.
That card's
Or
awful.
whatever, something from the Lotus Field deck. Like you want it to
Yeah.
be Hidden Strings, like I'm fine with that.
Honestly, that's what they should do. They should just ban Hidden Strings so that they don't
Which
have to
would,
put it on Arena. Yeah.
yeah, which would like weaken the deck. Technically, it would still be playable, but it
Yeah, but
would
it takes out
suck.
the best spell, like one of like the best combo piece. You'd have to use like the cycle the creature or whatever to
Oh,
untap
yeah,
your land.
the Vizier of
The
Tumbling
Vizier.
Sands.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, actually. You're
Oh,
right.
nice.
Yeah. Nice job.
I was like 60% sure.
That was pretty good.
So, yeah.
Usually, like getting card names is really hard, honestly, when you're talking about every card name. But yeah, so I'm excited to see how all of that shakes up and how they explore, lands with this Arena Championship. I'm actually excited to watch it.
Yeah,
We'll be talking about
me
it in a
too.
couple weeks, but like this is the first I've, it's been on the calendar for a while, but I finally get to be like, oh, it's coming up soon. And I actually want to watch it. It's not Historic or Alchemy. That's exciting.
Hoping somebody brings Rakdos, and then that's who I'm going to root for, because Rakdos really got shat on at the Pro Tour commentary. We're talking about how bad Rakdos is the whole time. So.
They just honestly, they're just looking for a story, and as soon as somebody says something, they're just going to jump onto it. I would do
Yeah.
exactly the same thing. If somebody starts
Oh, I
jumping
had
on,
no qualms with how they presented it. The only problem I had was when the results backed up what they were saying, and I was like, that sucks. I wanted somebody
well,
to prove them wrong.
yeah, Jeff, that has to be you, obviously. You weren't
Yeah, all right.
there. If you were in the Pro Tour, you would have been the one showing everybody that,
Hey man, I was in that queue for like 3 hours. I didn't find another game, so
You weren't getting qualified for that Pro Tour.
I would have talked him into it. I would have been
For
like,
sure,
hey,
for sure, for
let me
sure.
play in this one,
But anyway, this weekend we're still in Magic News. This is great.
might be the first time I finished the beer in Magic
During Magic
News,
News.
like in the history of the show.
That's what the title of the show is, just magic news, things that are happening. We have another historic, sorry, we're doing our March Madness of metagame madness or whatever. So the historic one is this weekend. Next weekend, we take a break because it's the qualifier weekend, which is Alchemy, which we had talked about all last week. And then the following ones will be Explorer and then Timeless. But I get to play in the standard one a little bit. Got my
Wasn't Timeless last week or something? I thought I saw that the
standard
timeline.
was last week.
Oh.
I definitely played in it and got my ass handed to me. Maybe it was Timeless and I was playing a standard deck. No, I did not do well. I was trying to ruin people's picnics and my picnic got ruined multiple
But
times.
there's been like 2 weekends in March, right? I think Timeless was one of those. Am I crazy? I could have sworn I logged in and saw Timeless metagame challenge, but maybe that was in my dreams.
Maybe in your dreams, I'm pretty positive it's coming at like in the beginning of April.
I guess there are still 2 more weekends.
Yeah, April 5th to the 8th will be Timeless Metagame Challenge. So they like completely missed the whole March Madness thing or March Metagame, whatever.
And last weekend was the standard metagame challenge?
Yeah. We talked about it on the
I think you're wrong.
show, Jeff. I played in it. It was definitely there. I did not do very well. I
Why
don't.
not?
Why not? I was playing Picnic Ruiner and I
There
refused
we
to change.
go. I was 90% sure that was the
I refused to play a different
answer.
deck. Though in Picnic Ruiner, I have started doing Ashlizzle, that's her name, had a deck that she was playing Picnic Ruiner with instead of. So I was thinking that Fugitive Codebreaker was going to be like the disguised creature that would do stuff because you wanted to reload your hand. In fact, all you want to do is a pyrotechnic performer because you most of the time your opponent's at like 5 or 3 life at the after you do your barrage of combo-y stuff, and it gives you more reach that for 4 mana you're just like and you're dead and you're
Yeah,
dead.
it's the old mono red philosophy of my
Yes.
card advantage is I kill you with 5 cards in your hand.
Exactly. So that's really the way it actually goes. And so that you can go for your combo earlier and leave them at like 5 or 3 life and be like, oh, I just have to top deck a you can Sunfall me and I just need to top deck a card. Which well, I say that it works, except for the fact that I couldn't win in this fucking challenge. I was losing. The thing is that the metagame challenge was definitely a metagame challenge because like I was not running into any regular meta decks. Everything was off the wall, bizarre, just the weirdest shit I've
That
ever
sounds like
seen.
the dream. Just make a bunch of like gems, basically. Play a
But
meta deck,
there are
jump
all
in.
decks that were like, I'm playing against like mono white. What's the info the Vindicator, the white one where it like it's a 5/5 with flying and it can't take damage. And if it takes damage, it deals it to whatever it
Yeah.
wants to deal it to. Do you know what I mean?
Isn't that Phyrexian Vindicator?
Yeah,
Like,
Vindicator, that's what it's called. Like that card, which I'm like,
I
this
haven't
is
seen
not.
that card since it was spoiled.
I know. And then I ran into it and I'm like, my deck can't beat this card. I don't have any sideboard
Actually,
plan.
I don't think that's true. I played against it in draft once and was like.
Yeah, but like literally, I'm playing against this stupid white deck and I'm like, this isn't part of the metagame. No
Yeah.
one plays this card and it hoses my
It
deck.
is extremely good against you,
Yeah, because like, I
yeah.
can't do any like all of my spells are meant to deal 5 damage to kill like shieldred and stuff. I can't deal 5 damage to this. All I do is spend my mana, and then you just kill one of my creatures or dome me in the face for 5. It was like, it was horrible. It was,
Sounds great.
I was so mad because I'm just like sitting there with my Picnic Ruiner with like
All the kill. Yeah,
Audacity
you had
on
the
it,
perfect
everything.
combo draw, and you're like,
I'm like, I can't do anything. I can't attack you or all my creatures die. And so the only idea was like, okay, I have to hold all my pump spells because they were at really low life at that point. But I was like, I have to go as wide as possible and try to go around it. I
Yeah.
was like, this is horrible.
It's
What a
not gonna
terrible
work.
game plan.
It's one of those things when you're sitting there and you're coming up with a game plan, and you're just like, you just know it's not gonna work, but you gotta do it anyway.
You got to try.
Yeah.
So that was the kind of thing where I was like, how? I hate this. I should have just like switched to a more like tempo deck that would be much better.
Just like play a Esper. You would have cleaned Esper. Up.
I know. Yeah. But like, I wanted to win with Picnic Ruiner, and yeah.
I get that. Totally. But now you guys know at home, when if you want to like pump some hate in your sideboards for the Picnic Ruiner menace. Just Vindicator.
Sure, just like play it in whatever deck.
You know what? Esper could play that. That's how ridiculous Standard is.
The fucking mana bases, man.
Yeah.
It's out of control. It really is. I never, you know, before doing this podcast and like getting more into this, I didn't really understand how important the lands are to like obviously all formats, but like Standard specifically.
Yeah, it's completely defined by the lands that are available.
It's crazy the number of lands we have in all the different
types. Especially currently the fast lands is the most annoying thing. It's like, you got to give us the fast lands for the other colors so that we're allowed to play
aggro decks that are Simic or is it? I say Simic because I was playing Kellen the other day and like trying to build a deck with Kellen. And like,
yeah, and it's just like, it's a cool idea to try to get that working. You cannot do it because you do not have the correct land.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've been building some budget Standard decks on stream and doing some stuff with them. And that's the biggest thing where I'm like, all my decks are like, oh, it's like I can play this type of deck and this type of deck. And I'm looking at the mana base where obviously I'm trying to be budget with it, but like I want to put the most wild cards in the mana base because I do believe that that's the most important part.
Yeah.
Like there could be some important rares that you need for your deck, but like being able to play your cards on time is so much more important. Like your powerful card a turn after you're supposed to play it is like significantly less powerful.
Medium to bad.
Yeah. And
especially since like budget decks tend to want to be aggro.
Yeah, because like most of the like you don't have there are no control options really. Like,
well, because like in the long run, card quality wins.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
So if your opponent's playing 45 rares in their deck, you don't want the game to go long.
Yeah, you need it to be over as soon as possible.
Every card of theirs is a bit better than every card of yours, and that just adds up over time.
That's true. That's because this is also just how I build decks, where I don't want to put a card that costs like 4 mana in my deck.
Yeah, the classic Zag. I look at his deck, and I'm like, no 3 drops. Okay. Yeah.
That's Curve my favorite thing.
Two.
Yep, Curve ends at 2. That's like a dream. Like, what's wrong with that? I want to play multiple cards like in a turn. You know,
that's probably good cards. Deck building, man. Like, it's always try to get that curve down as low as possible.
I love looking at a hand and being like, yeah, I could play any of these on turn one. You know, it's just like, not all of them are going to be good on turn one, but I like the options. As opposed to like, that's why I never wanted to play like, what was that Sultai deck where it was like Binding the Old Gods and like it ramped up to
the classic
Emergent Ultimatum, which was literally like you got a mulligan till you get your 2-drop into your 4-drop into your whatever. And it's just like
it was like Growth Spiral into Binding the Old Gods
kind of deal into like something else, but like the pace of the game was exactly the same every time, which was like meh. I don't like it.
Or I think that deck actually played Cultivate, speaking of Cultivate.
That deck played Cultivate, and so did the other Ultimatum deck, the Teemer one, before Omnath got banned. I think they played Cultivate. Right. But that was because they had Omnath, so when you Cultivate, things happen.
Yeah, it's obviously ridiculous.
Yeah. So that's what we need to know about Force of Cultivation, or whatever it's called.
I guess that's
Flare,
true.
Flare of Cultivation.
I mean, Omnath, I think, is... No, Omnath is good in Modern. No, wait, is it?
Legal? No, Omnath. He's like 4-color, not is it.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry, that's terrible.
I think Omnath is legal in Modern.
Yeah, I think so. There's a bunch of them. Yeah. There's
the good one.
Is the good one. In Modern.
I think so. I think that's what Gabriel Nassif always plays is... Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, he plays Omnath.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like going back and forth about whether or not it was banned, but I think I'm thinking of
honestly. Uro. Yeah, for sure. It's definitely confusing because there are so many different formats, and like remembering which cards are banned and which ones is like
And then it's like you expect, okay, Omnath didn't make it all the way to Modern to get banned there. But he's also actually legal in Pioneer, which just kind of sucks there because there's no
Yeah,
fetch
because
lands.
there's no fetch lands. Or okay, you could play the Fabled Passage in like Evolving Wilds, or sorry, Escape Room. What's it called? Escape Tunnel. The new one,
Well,
Escape
there's the
Room. Escape Room. It's definitely not called that.
that's the unset version.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's also the oh geez, what were they called? There was like the Esper one and the
Oh, you're the Sacklands from New Capena.
from New Capena. Yeah, like I'm never gonna remember the names of any of these things, but they gained
Oh,
a life and then they
yeah, Riveteers, whatever.
yeah,
Like,
Riveteer, that is actually what I was looking for.
yeah,
I
that's the Jund
was
one.
like, what is Jund called in that set?
Well, I've actually been playing those because I've been playing budget decks and.
Oh, of course, right.
Actually, I saw a really sweet standard deck today that was using all of those. It was basically like, so I was playing against it, and it was one of those decks where you're like, what are they doing? This is stupid. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Oh, I have a guess at where this is going.
So they're playing all of the like New Capena, fetch lands or sac lands or whatever. And then they're playing Aftermath Analyst because Aftermath Analyst brings them all back from your graveyard to play. And they're also playing the Mono Green Nissa, which is basically like a tiny Omnath. So like it's a Lotus Cobra when lands enter, so you get to add mana of any color. And then if you get two of them, then you can go look for an elf or an elemental off the top of your deck. So playing any of your sac lands help you do that. And then they're playing like the green virtue, which like the first half like goes in, I think it fetches a land, and then the enchantment is like five green, and or maybe it's more than that, maybe it's six
Triples
green.
your mana or some shit.
It triples your mana, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they triple your mana and then they kill you with World Soul's Rage, just a fireball to your face. And that was like
Oh.
the deck.
I
But
love
like
that because the World Soul's Rage also pseudo
it brings all the lands back.
it plays the other the backup role as well when in
So then, yeah, you don't have to kill your opponent with World Soul's Rage. You could still keep the
Or
stuff
you could,
going.
if you have two in hand and a Nissa, you like cast the first one and
Yeah,
that
and then get a bunch of
charges
lands.
the Nissa for the second one.
That's true. So yeah, it was a cool deck. We were playing a budget Golgari deck at the time, so we did not have any counter magic or anything that could disrupt them at all.
I was gonna say it sounds like a bit of a glass cannon where it's like, if it does its thing, you're gonna lose, but it's very easy to disrupt. Like
For
graveyard
sure.
hate disrupts it, removal disrupts it, like counterspells disrupt it. Like pretty much any form of interaction at all disrupts
Yeah.
it. But
It
I love
didn't.
that. And it needs like five moving pieces. That's my kind of deck.
I mean, like, I think to be fair, if the game went long enough, it doesn't need Nissa on the battlefield. That just helped speed it up a bit.
Well,
Because, like,
sure.
as, yeah, but, like,
14 turn goldfish or
I
whatever
mean,
without
like,
Nissa.
when I'm, sure. But, like, my deck, I was playing, like a budget Insidious Roots deck. So, like, I'm just trying to play things out of my graveyard to make a bunch of plants that are big to
God, I love
attack.
Insidious Roots.
You know what? That's got to be the number. Whenever we do the happy hour, Insidious Roots is the number one card. When I read it originally, I was like, this card fucking sucks. I hate it. To this card's awesome.
Oh my God, that's a good card. What? This card's busting.
How are they letting this happen?
You only have to lose to that deck once where you're like, excuse me? What does this card do?
Yeah. The other thing is that, like, when the set comes out, I'm always focused on draft. Insidious Roots is good in draft if you can get the deck. Like, you can play Insidious Roots and Chalk Outline, and like every time you pull something out of your graveyard, you get a plant and a 2/2 detective, and you can get the ball rolling. It ends up being very good. And that is just
That part I
not.
was excited about at the start of the form. I didn't know if it was going to actually end up materializing, but I was like, this is a classic like draft build around that really pays you off if the support is actually there in the set, which I
Yeah.
obviously didn't know at the start. So.
And no one really knows, obviously. It looked like actual garbage. Like, just don't put it in your deck ever. And that's how everyone treated it. And that's what, like, the limited resources said and everything. But I do think that you won't always have an Insidious Roots deck, but like all the pieces of it will wheel. So like when you start to see it wheeling, then you're like, okay, I can do it. I
I
can
think
be
it's
in
one of
this
those
deck.
cards like Inti kind of, where when you first read it, you assume it does one thing. And then when you start to play with it, you're like, this has so much more incidental stuff that it like with Inti, you're like, oh, when I play a channel land, that counts as discarding and it triggers Inti and like
That was the one that I just did
it's
not even notice at
like
all.
whoa, that's huge. And then there's, another aspect of discarding, they're like, whoa, wait a minute. This card seems like it just does the thing that it does, but it really has a lot of potential. Insidious Roots was like that for me, because it was like, okay, I get it, you exile cards from there from your graveyard. But it's not just
Just
exiling cards, it's
exile.
anytime a creature leaves your graveyard for any reason. And there's a lot of like weird ways to do that. And the big one for me was Mosswood Dreadknight, where I was like, right, recasting the dead Mosswood Dreadknight for its adventure would
Pulls it out
make
of the
it leave my
graveyard.
graveyard and go to the adventure
And it's a
zone.
creature in the graveyard, even though you're casting the sorcery part of it.
Right. And just like little things like that where where your opponent often just exiles stuff from your graveyard. And you're like, ha ha.
And
Insidious
like,
Roots triggers, my friend. I actually won a match because my opponent cast, I'll never remember the name of this card, but it's the new Black Wrath that then like
you can so it's called a Devious
Surgical
Cover Up.
Extractions and Devious Cover Up. Yeah, no,
And
Devious Cover Up is this the counter spell, isn't it? Maybe I'm wrong about
all
that.
right, you keep talking about this, and I'm going to find
Yeah.
the name of this card.
Anyways, they cast that and then they wanted to get rid of my Mosswood Dreadknights for good. But because there were like three Mosswood Dreadknights in my graveyard, my Insidious Roots just popped off when they did that. And so they actually didn't really wipe my board because my Insidious Roots replaced it after the cover up.
Sorry, it's called Deadly Cover
Deadly
Up.
cover up, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Devious is the counter spell that
You're
like
right, you're right.
shuffles your stuff back in.
But yes, that's hilarious because then they're spending extra, like they have to collect evidence to be able to
And
do
oh,
the
they
whole
yeah, and
thing.
they didn't have to do that,
No, it's
but
like you could just cast this card and not give me more creatures.
yeah, you just like replaced my board with a better one, actually, for me.
Which is, I think that counterspell is great, and like, unfortunately our world is plagued with farewell, but Deadly Cover Up seems like a really cool, like,
But farewell will do it too. It'll get you a plant token.
sorry, I meant just like if this was the main board wipe in standard as opposed to
Oh
farewell,
yeah,
but
I like this. And when farewell kicks the bucket, then
Well, actually, no, because do you get the with farewell? Sorry, when I was saying that, I meant Sunfall in my brain, but farewell. Do you actually get the plant tokens even though they're exiling your enchantment too?
It would depend on the order, actually.
I think it says, oh, you mean the order of the card?
Yeah, like if it
I think
exiles the graveyard before the
first.
enchantment and after the creatures,
I'm pretty sure
then
it does.
yeah.
No, graveyards are after enchantments. It
So
says
it's artifacts,
artifacts.
creatures, enchantments, graveyard. So no, you wouldn't get it then.
Yeah.
If the graveyards and enchantments were swapped, you would get
Okay, interesting. But also, fuck that
it. It's like they knew.
this is like
They even made it good
hey.
against Insidious Roots.
Yeah, in a couple sets,
Yeah. We're a little worried this enchant is gonna be too good. So could you swap the order of these things on Fairweather?
That's
like 2 years down the line.
That like in Kamigawa, they're like, well, because actually that would be exactly the same time, right? They'd be making Insidious Roots.
Could have happened.
Well, I guess while the set is coming out, so like they probably was too late, but anyway, it doesn't matter. That's just it's so funny. I'm excited for Rotation, man. As I'm playing more standard, I'm just like, I can't wait till I don't have to see Rafine again. Like, it's not even super oppressive. It's just like, I just don't want to see your face anymore.
It's just enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm conditioned on standard being a 2-year rotation that this feels extra long.
It's definitely what it is. And I'm not playing in paper, so it's not like my Rafines are gone and now I have to get a new deck. Like, I have to get new cards every set, so.
But like, I think Wandering Emperor is a really reasonable.
I love Wandering Emperor.
It's a really reasonable power level to be one of the top cards in standard. I think there's a lot of interesting play patterns. I think it's cool, and if you suss it out, there's something you can actually do.
You can
about
make it really bad, you know.
Yeah, it's just like comes in, makes a 2/2, and you're like, okay, well that was 4 mana though.
Yeah, so. And you, yeah, exactly, and then you can do a bunch of other things to kill it or whatever, or just know like, you know, I'll keep the creatures I care about back, but like I'll attack with this other one just because I know you're gonna play it.
Yeah. So I think the Wandering Emperor was a total like hit. It was a home run for them. It was a great standard design.
Great card, yeah.
I'm still sick of it. Like I'm just playing standard. I'm like, that's enough Wandering Emperor.
Like, yeah. Just it's like, you know, when it felt like I shouldn't have to be attacking into 4 white mana and be worried still. I'm like,
it should be the opposite where I'm like, oh, they have 2 white up and then be like, oh, that card's gone. Never mind. Bang. Like,
exactly.
Like that's like, the feeling you want. Not the, I still have to do this, really? Like,
yeah.
And my opponent's still doing the thing where they don't have anything, but they leave up 2 white.
And like, oh. Yeah. And that. And like, or they're just going to counter something or blah, blah, blah. And so, like, but you have to respect it. And
you have to, like, yeah, try to play something ahead of time. Like, do you want to counter this before combat?
Maybe this was pretty good. My favorite thing actually was, obviously I like protection spells. They're one of my favorite spells. And so like attacking into the Wandering Emperor, being like, they have Wandering Emperor. Are they going to play Wandering Emperor? No, I have a single green open and be like, I'm going to make the 2/2. And then that actually does something. But if they try to exile my thing, I'm like, nope, fuck you. It's dead.
So I've always loved the like village rights as well.
Right? Yeah.
It's like, whatever you target's going to get sacked, and I'm going to draw 2 cards.
It doesn't matter. I don't care about any of these guys. You think I like these guys? They're not my friends. Yeah, they're not my friends. I will psych them in a second. I'll kill them. It doesn't matter.
Throw them right under the bus. I have no qualms about that.
Yeah, yeah. The other weird thing about Wandering Emperor, just like the fact that Wandering Emperor obviously makes vigilant creatures, and so you can never exile your opponent's samurai with your Wandering Emperor, Like, I guess it's better than the alternative, which is like who plays their second kind of thing.
But I like it because it's who plays it first gets the advantage rather than who plays it second. And I think
that's a design, obviously.
Good design. It's a good change of pace from it's whoever can hold it the longest kind of wins.
Yeah.
In these mirror, but you know, card versus card mirrors, but this one is like, no, you want to get first, so you're putting counters on your thing, and they can never block it.
It's whoever holds it longest. Like, what are those like beer drinking games where you like have to drink a bunch and you can't pee? It's like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's just like that.
Whoever holds it the longest.
Like Counterspell Wars are like.
So yeah. It's like I can't hold it anymore. I gotta play it.
Whoever plays their Sphinx's Revelation first loses.
Yeah. Exactly like that. That's what it
pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, totally.
Mirrors are beer drinking contests where you're not allowed to pee. That's what you learned here.
Exactly. And turns out I'm really bad at those and I don't think that they're fun. I'm breaking the seal all day, baby. Let's go.
Which one are you talking about? But you're bad at both, or
I'm bad at both. Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously, control mirrors I'm not really interested in playing. And so then the games where you're trying to hold your pee, I'm also not interested in playing.
Yeah,
So
that's fair. So it
whatever.
is a perfect analogy.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we should be talking about.
Yes.
Oh man. But yeah, standard rotation will be great.
It's gonna be a good time.
It
And no
will.
more Shieldred, right? Because Shieldred's been around for several years by
Don't
now,
be
for sure.
fucking throwing that around. Don't be getting people
Yeah.
excited. We have Shielded for another year. Shielded's not going anywhere. I think well, to be fair, we see Shielded a lot less than we used to, right?
I don't even really think of it as a standard card anymore. It used to be like the
The
sort of,
premier.
yeah, like when I thought of Shieldred, I thought of, everyone's playing this in standard. Now I think of it as like this card's more of a like pioneer card.
It's like
Yeah.
it's a Rakdos card kind of thing,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
As
And
opposed to like, and it, we were playing it in Rakdos and then Dimir in standard everything, but like now you see it and it does become a problem. And I still think about it on turn four with like black. My opponent's playing it. I'm like,
every once in a while, people will start to cut their Shieldred removal or skimp on it, and then she'll resurface. But for the most part, I think like even the Esper decks I was playing against in that paper tournament I went to, pretty sure there was
Well,
zero Shellys.
to be fair, paper tournaments are completely different because no one can afford Shieldred, so.
Well, what's interesting is I was actually talking to her after the match, and she, was talking about traders and stuff, and I was like, "Well, I don't really have anything, but
Look
I'd
at
be
yours.
interested in looking at your collection." And she had a very like cool, just like collector's collection kind of. I don't know how else to describe it. It was all like
A foiled
crazy
out and like
versions of
nice and
sweet
cool
cards,
stuff.
and she had the crazy expensive Shieldred, the one that's like the, there's like three or four arts. She had expensive art, and it was
I don't even know what the expensive art on
promo in
Shielded
some
is.
way.
Oh, I feel like such a noob.
I'm pretty sure that card alone was a few hundred bucks, but she had, and then she had some Shieldreds in the binder, so it wasn't even
Oh, it's like the oil slick one.
the oil slick. Yes, yes,
Yeah, the cool one with like the cool foiling.
yeah. But she had Shieldreds for sure, so it wasn't. Well, maybe it was an unwillingness to sleeve them up and shuffle them and play them,
Maybe.
but I think it was more just she just didn't want to play Shieldred.
Yeah, well, respect. That's big
Yeah,
respect there.
she went for the wedding announcement kind of go wide build,
Yeah,
but
as a
just
honestly,
M Wandering Emperor, which was much, much worse for me. I was like, I really wish you were just like
Shieldred.
packing four Shieldreds that I could just kill and move on with my life.
Because Shieldred doesn't draw you cards.
Yeah.
It's just one card.
And
Unlike Wandering Emperor or sorry, Wedding Announcement. But Wandering Emperor too.
there are situations where they have Esper as a wide board and Rafine, and then they drop Shieldred and gain a bunch of life all at once. That's what
Yeah,
can
that's
get me. But
but
at that point I'm so what's
you're pro
happening where they have like this huge board, I'm an aggro deck, they have Rafine and they're attacking, like I've probably lost that game, so
Exactly. Yeah, fucking it's always like Rafine and the stupid bats.
Yeah,
Those
I don't care at all
goddamn
about Bat.
bats.
Like, my deck doesn't really care about Bat pretty much at all. I hate when they go Denic, Rafine. Then I'm like, oof, this could be an uphill battle.
Oh, I guess, yeah, basically what I'm saying is like the lifelink creature
Lifelink,
and
yeah.
not so
The
much that
Bat
it's
Rafine I can beat because it's a little slow. Like, it's that one
one
point of power
is
slower.
slower,
Yeah, whereas, like, the flying doesn't super matter to me. And Bat, I think, like take all my stuff's cheap creatures, so like you could take in,
Well,
they'll usually take Inti, and that's fine, but
that is pretty hard for me because it's like I kept a hand with like one creature and three spells. And they're like, well, the game's over. And so then
yeah.
I just don't keep those hands anymore. One thing I have been like learning from playing a bunch of aggressive decks, and I'm sure everyone has learned this already, but for anyone who hasn't learned this, I think that as the aggro player, your Mulligan decisions weigh obviously much, much higher than other people's. And so you need to be willing to do different. You need to be willing to mulligan to like better hands instead of just accepting the, this one's kind of okay. You need like, if I'm playing Picnic Ruiner, I'd much rather have like land, two creatures and two spells. Like that's the best. Even if it's six cards, but it's so much better than the like,
for sure,
three lands with three spells and one creature is like, ooh, I don't know about this one.
Right. And it comes back to that idea of like card quality wins in the long run. So if you think that your cards are synergistic with each other and are meant to do something specific, but your opponent's cards are generally better, you're trying to end the game as soon as possible. And having an extra card in your hand is thinking for the long term more than it's thinking for the short term. But it's a good call out because in limited, my advice is almost the exact opposite. Like if you, any hand that is semi-functional, that's what you're going to keep, even if you're an aggro deck in limited.
Yes.
Because the difference between like short games and long games in limited is way more narrow than in constructed, where like the short games are 3 to 4 turns and the long games are like 50 turns. In limited, it's more like, oh, the games are like 8 to 12 turns.
Kind of thing, yeah.
So you really want to make sure you're not down a card in limited. And everything's just about like, I have a 3-3 and you have a...
Well, yeah. Well, because obviously the best cards in limited get you extra cards. In MKM right now, all the best cards get you tokens of things.
Right.
You know,
they're like that's... a card and a half.
Yeah, it's like inside source.
Rares are 2 for 1s, 3 for 1s.
That's the kind of stuff that makes it really great. So you need to be focusing on those kinds of things for limited. And also, would almost always, if I have like a hand that like I either can't cast something until turn three, or I don't have my colors. That's a big thing. If I'm like, it's white, and the rest of the hand is red, I'm like, that's the shippable hand. You know, right. It's like, I can't cast anything until a disguise creature on turn three. And I have to hope I get exactly a mountain. I'm going to ship this and hope for two colors. But it also comes, that's obviously also deck building. These new limited formats, just Magic as it is in general, and the future as well. You have to do stuff at the beginning of the game. You can't. They want Magic to like not last crazy lengths, because I think they also want it to be watchable. It's hard to watch when you like the games where you're like tap land to play something on turn three, like are not exciting, I guess. And I don't know, I think they want Magic to move a
little
bit
faster. They're not exciting
for
new viewers.
For new viewers, but just the public in general.
Yeah, and there's not really a ton of purpose, to be honest. Like, I think you can speed up the game without reducing its complexity.
Yeah, so for sure. Absolutely.
Why not?
You just need things to happen sooner. So it's like the things that used to happen on turn five should be happening on turn like 3 and 4 or something like that.
And then, so they're trying to do that in a way that's balanced.
Yeah. It just means that like every turn matters. And you can't just wait around for a while, you know?
And I think nothing like illustrated that point better to me than going back and playing cons again.
Yeah, holy shit.
I was
shit.
Just like, well, man, it's literally the game starts on turn three. And then
like
we both
barely.
Just play 2/2s.
Really the game, and you always know that's going to happen. So the game really starts on turn like 5, where you're like, okay,
like
now we're playing different spells. Every single one.
Pass, 2/2, 2/2, 2/2, 2/2. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, it was really difficult. It took me so long to really get the hang of cons. And it was a struggle.
I love that format when I played it. And when I played it now, relative to like my new expectations, I didn't love it. And I was like, I think Magic is getting better.
Yeah, it is getting better. And like maybe those goats that people are talking about are just, you know, not, maybe we don't have to revisit them. I think recently, I
It's the old
was.
sports debate of like,
Oh,
if you put
who's.
the GOAT in current era, would they be as good or whatever?
Yeah, it's like the very underrated Rocky Balboa movie, Rocky Six, where he. Do you know the Rocky movies at all?
I know of them. I
Okay.
don't know if like you're being sarcastic that it's underrated or not. I
Well,
appreciate
I like Rocky Balboa. Like that movie is fine, but the premise of the film is that they have a new computer like generated thing where they can get Rocky from his prime to fight a digital version of the newest boxer who's in their prime right now and see who wins. And it says that Rocky loses. And so then he is an old man, trains up and tries to fight him and loses. But
Nice.
you know,
I'm glad he
if
didn't win. That's actually a better.
Well, if you know anything about Rocky, it's not about how hard you can hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep getting up. That's what the movie's about. Yeah, it's always brutal. It's just him getting every fight is Rocky getting smacked in the face a million times and then just trying to hit one haymaker, but like he takes a lot of hits.
Yeah.
And the whole movie you're like, or in the big fights, you're like, I think he's losing like really badly. Like it looks
Yeah.
bad, but not like, oh, he's gonna come up and be like amazing. It's like, no, he's always kind of like barely getting over the finish line because it's like he's really beaten up. He's not like magic or anything. He can't like
Yeah.
he's just a guy who's like a punching bag that like can
Yeah.
still swing. And people are like, why doesn't he stop? And that's his strength. His strength is just never stopping. So anyway, but yes, that's exactly the same thing of like, yeah, if you bring the goats from the old days, if that people are talking about Outlaws of Thunder Junction, the acronym for it is OTJ, which people are saying, oh, I know this draft format, it's Odyssey, Torment, Judgment, you know, because that's what people used to call that, OTJ, and
They're
people are
joking, right? They don't think this is some like,
no, yeah, they're joking.
yeah, they're building it on that format, and I'm gonna have a leg up because I play
Yeah, Threshold's coming back, baby. We're done with
it.
Delirium now. Threshold was much better because it's just any card.
Yeah. Threshold would be like trivial to turn on these days.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how difficult it was at the time, but like now it'd just be any deck could have it by turn two or three.
I mean, like that's, I think that's what, from my recollection, when I would play in like FNMs around that time, I remember playing against like some of those like Threshold decks and being like Circular Logic and like all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I was just like,
Circular logic's nutty.
yeah. But just being like, oh, this, oh, okay. That was fast. But I was also
Yeah.
a child, so I don't really know what
Also, I
fast
guess
meant to me.
graveyard hate's a lot better these days, so if you wanted to
Because
fight it, you could.
Arena or Arena WotC has specifically put out an article. We were talking about this pre-show, but it's their like nuts and bolts. They do this every once in a while. I think it's actually every year they talk about something that they like adding on to. And this one is specifically like play booster packs and how they're changing from draft booster packs. But they are also talking about specifically each card that they're putting in different slots. So play boosters are going to have less overall commons, and there will be more overall uncommons, even though commons will be more frequent than uncommons, if that makes sense. But they have like a skeleton of like, these are all the white common creatures that we want to have in the set and blah, blah, blah. And essentially it's just to boil down to, we no longer want unplayable sideboard only cards to be in Magic. It's just they're just not fun or interesting. And we've been seeing it with like all the sideboard cards, like Make Your Move and Pick Your Poison and stuff. Those are all main deckable because they're like, there's enough relevant artifacts and enchantments and creatures with flying or creatures that have power four or greater and all that stuff that you can actually use these cards. They don't have to be in your sideboard anymore. And we don't play cards like Erase, which is just a single white for like exile target artifact or enchantment, sorry. So they just don't want to make those cards anymore. And Khans of Tarkir There's so many unplayable
There's so many
pieces
of
of
those,
shit.
yeah.
They're just this pack is full of crap. Like,
Yeah.
I can't play any of these cards.
Like so much trash. I think, does that mean they're not gonna print Negate and Duress every like
No,
few sets anymore?
because those cards are. Oh, you mean in limited? I think they'll make sure to have them in standard all the time.
Right.
I don't think they're going to ever have
But they
standard
won't,
without
because the
duress and
current
negate.
process is like every second standard or like limited set will have a
They'll have
duress or
it.
something.
They might just
Like,
do it once a year kind of thing.
interesting, yeah. Or
I
are they going to get replaced by
maybe
more versatile versions?
versions. I mean, making a more versatile negate feels
Bad idea.
bad idea, and
Yeah.
duress too, but I think that they might just add things like staple them onto creatures. Like, we have different creatures that do types of effects like that. That's more not so much talking about the negate duress topic, it's moving more towards the destroy artifacts and enchantment topic
Yeah.
of like the your return to nature is on a creature
Right.
now, so you can still use it in limited.
Part of me is like upset in the sense that it used to be the fact that every set had these crappy sideboard cards meant that when that card actually was relevant in a limited format as a main deckable option was like a fun puzzle that you could figure out first. Like you could be main decking your enchantment hate
In this
in your
limited
sealed
format.
deck before other people realize, because everyone else is filtering that out and into their sideboards or taking it late or whatever. But after having played cons again, like that's just me like reminiscing. And I think this is definitely just a good change to try to omit that step.
Yeah, I also think it's like they're broadening the number of, like, in cons, it's like, are you running Shatter to kill Ghostblade? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're
Yeah.
specifically, there's like certain artifacts you're trying to kill. Now, there's like so many different creatures that also happen to be artifacts for different reasons, and
Or
like
like
they're
make an artifact at the very
that
least,
you might
like a
need,
clue token or
or like the fact that there's a land that's an artifact land and a clue. And
right.
so, like, if your opponent turn ones that land and you have green, pick your poison, you're like, Stone Rain you on turn
Yeah,
one, you know?
gotcha.
And so, oh, I won the die roll, in fact, you didn't.
Yeah.
That is a thing that is interesting. And so I think that it's a combination of like those sideboard cards are getting stapled together so that they are more versatile, and the targets are spreading out so it's more useful, and so that you can main deck it, because also, like, a lot of people are playing best of one limited these days. Like, we're not really playing best of three. Yeah, that's me. We talk about not playing best of one constructed,
Yeah.
but we play best of one limited. It's really just
Best
the
of one
it's
constructed is awful. Best of one limited is great.
In our opinion, if you
Yeah.
like best of one constructed, it has its place, I think. It's like really shines on bathroom breaks. Ugh, it's like perfect, you know? I can't play a whole match on a bathroom break, but maybe best of one? Sure.
It's a great on-ramp, I would say too. Like
Yeah.
it.
It's just in the entire balance of Magic is so different in best of one constructed. It like throws everything kind of in whack.
It's just like always play mono red, right? Like, I
Or
don't
play
know.
the life gain deck, or play the control deck. Like, there aren't really, there's no
It's
real mid
extremes. It's,
range.
there's
Yeah.
always extremes.
And so everything has to be hyper focused, as opposed to in best of three, you get to move things around a little bit. It has more play to it. But yeah, I think these changes are good. I'm excited to see how that progressive, how play boosters progress. I got to open some recently. A buddy of mine, we got together and just played like MKM sealed. We had some sealed packs. And opening the packs again, it had been a little bit since I opened like play boosters, and I was like, fuck, these are awesome.
Yeah.
Plus, like, the fact that when you get a rare land, you get another rare is huge. Like, both of our decks had like rare lands that we were stoked to play because we're like, I just want to surveil, but I also have a bunch of other cool rares for my deck. It doesn't feel like, oh, you got a fucking bomb and I got three rare lands. This sucks.
They're
Right?
sealed, that's huge.
That doesn't happen anymore. It's just not an issue.
There is a
So.
big problem with sealed where I was like, I want the rare lands because I want to own those cards.
Yes.
But I absolutely do not. I want them to appear in all packs except my sealed
Yeah. I
packs.
want them to be in every prize pack I open should be a rare land.
Yeah.
None of my sealed pool should be a rare land. But now it's like the debate of like should lands be rare or not is kind of getting washed away because we're getting so many more of them. I think that
This is a good, interesting solution
yeah.
from Wizards to the problem of like lands being rare is lame versus the, good
Make them
lands
uncommon or
have always
whatever.
been rare and it started based on power level. Like these are just very powerful cards. This is an interesting solution where it's like, why don't we just give people more rares? And so they never just get the rare land, they also get another rare.
I like it.
Yeah, I gotta hand it to them on that one. I did not think of that as a possibility, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Course, on Arena, when we open packs, like to prize packs, it's not the same.
It's not the same. No, you always just get the one rare. But also, who cares? Prize packs are like for free. And
Prize packs are to celebrate your glorious,
yeah.
glorious 7-0.
Yeah, as they like stream across your screen and they flip
Yeah.
up and there's those sparks and
Yeah.
yeah, it's
Looks
great.
cool.
Looks great. Honestly, it makes me feel so much better about opening packs. Before I was like, oh, this feels kind of lame. But
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah,
The new animations,
it's
yeah,
great.
are
It's great.
relatively new at this point, I
You know
guess.
what's funny is like playing like I was playing against someone who was playing mana gourd wait. What's the dragon from Crimson Vow that like when you play instants and sorceries it like makes tokens of dragons and they attack or whatever?
Oh,
Mana's something dragon. It's standard legal still.
yeah, Moonveil. No,
No, not
Moonveil Regent
Moonveil.
is a different
No,
one.
that was the one that would like discard your hand. This one's like
Love
another four
Moonveil
drop
Regent.
dragon that we
I
talked
can
about.
picture the art, but I can't remember
Anyway,
it.
that's another one of the random decks I played against in the standard metagame challenge where I'm like, what is this? Is it spells deck with this dragon that like I'm gonna die to in the air? I was not ready for that card. But that was one of the ones where it's like, oh, this card was old enough that when you play it, like there's an animation and the dragon flies by. I'm
Oh,
like,
really?
they don't do that anymore. Like, we don't
That
have animations for cards really. Like, it's just,
happened to me with Timeless and Uro. And I was like,
yeah. Or anyone plays Koma ever again, you're like, oh my God, like the snake is spiraling. Ugh. Like, they just decided, you know what? Let's not spend time doing that to every card. Which I don't know how I feel about it. It makes me a little sad because I'm like,
I have
right.
the, yeah, it, I get that like twang of nostalgia or whatever, but it's definitely the correct decision from
Just make
from
it easier
that.
to play. Like I don't need to see this every time.
Right. And
It's
that's what it
like
gets to in constructed, especially older formats where every card is the
is the
powerhouse
same.
of their format, where it's like every
It
card
also
is a huge animation.
it takes a long time. It's like when you would play that what's that giant sweeper where it's like it kills all non-giants and they have the big hand come in and like scoop up everybody.
That was the adventure, right? I think there was a giant, and then there
Yes,
was the,
the adventure was kill all the non-giants and then you play the
yeah.
giant. He's making bread. He's got to get some wheat, I guess. His human wheat for his
Yeah,
bread.
sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna grind your bones to make my bread. Anyway. But yeah, magic. Oh, buddy. Well, Jeff, it's been an episode. It's been
Yeah.
great. We always got stuff to talk about when it comes to Magic. Do you have any final thoughts before we go to our last call?
I guess I just want to say I'm taking a hard stance here. Phoenix will not win the arena championship.
Oh, okay. But it'll top eight.
Oh yeah, it'll be like several decks
Seven.
of the top
It'll
eight.
be seven decks of the top
Yes,
eight, and
but the one that didn't play
the
Phoenix.
one will have the great matchup and win all out.
Yeah,
All
that's what
right.
I'm calling. Not quite that specific, but
Perfect. Well, you call that. I will call the opposite. I think we'll have
yeah.
Phoenix will win
I thought you were going to say
on.
the opposite is like one Phoenix deck, seven non-Phoenix
Oh,
decks in the
there you go.
top
Okay,
eight, and the
sure.
Phoenix deck
There,
wins.
that then sure. Let's do that. You picked what's more plausible, that there's one Phoenix deck in the top eight and it wins, or there's seven Phoenix decks in the top eight
I
and
actually
the
think yours is
less plausible?
no, I think they're like comparably unlikely.
Okay, yeah, there'll
Because
probably be
only
like.
one Phoenix deck making the top eight seems unlikely to me.
I'm
But if
gonna.
it does, it's probably gonna win. And then
Over.
mine is like
That's
seven
true.
is
That's
also a
true.
lot. So.
Yeah. So over under on four, what do you think?
I
Of
think
like.
four, yeah, four is the number. I would. If I was
Over
forced to
four?
gamble, I'd take the under on that. I'd take
Take the
three. I
under.
think three is probably what we're gonna see. But
Yeah, I would probably say that too. But just for.
these small tournaments like
That's
this,
true.
like you never know.
It's so wacky. Anyway, you said that it's not gonna win.
No Phoenix victory.
All right, Phoenix is gonna make it to the finals. I'll say that.
Can't argue there. It
Well,
will,
we'll see.
but it will get defeated
Yeah. Well, you
by
know,
Picnic Ruiner.
if no, real quick, if Picnic Ruiner, wait, but also because like it's not an explorer
Explorer.
deck. But if Picnic Ruiner makes it to the finals of the Explorer
It's a guy
Championship,
who accidentally queued with his standard deck
standard deck,
into the
and makes it to the top eight finals and
Arena
wins, it'd be like playing Boros Heroic, but you're playing Picnic Ruiner.
Championship.
Oh,
That's a
God.
flex. That's a play skill flex right there.
Be like, oh, sorry, guys, I just submitted the wrong deck list. I have to play
Yeah.
this. I'm playing Thran Portal because I can't because it's
The announcers are like, what a genius meta game call. He's really the meta killer here with this Picnic Ruiner brew.
he's not playing any like Stomping Grounds at all. Like his mana base is
Yeah.
fucked, which is like one of the biggest reasons the deck is so irritating to me.
Didn't want to take damage in a Phoenix meta. Smart, smart.
smart. He just, oh God, oh that's so funny. Oh man. Anyway, talking about phoenixes and I don't know, birds. Let's talk about this
There we
beer.
go. Yeah.
We have our phoenix chick hatching out of this beer. What do we think about hatch? This is a nice little pale ale.
Okay, so you sort of set up there. I liked
All
it, but I think what I really liked about it is it said it was bright and citrusy. And I took one sip and I was like, that's bright and citrusy. Like, absolutely correct. That was no false advertisement happening there at all. It almost tasted like a West Coast IPA with that kind of citrusy thing they have going on. But then it was toned down, obviously, in terms of hoppiness or bitterness and alcohol content. And that, I think, made it like bright is kind of the right word to describe
For
how that
sure.
made it. It was refreshing. It was good, you know. I was going through it real
I
fast,
plowed
so.
through it. You definitely did. This thing was great. I liked it. It was like an offbeat pale ale to me. It didn't feel like I was thinking it was going to be run of the mill.
Yeah. Honestly, that just 'cause like I guess you assume everything's average until proven otherwise.
Yeah, but I was thinking like, oh, this is going to be fine. I ended up really liking it a lot. It was exactly everything that you said.
It was very good.
And most of the time when I'm opening these cans, I'm like, please be like an East Coast, please be something like really
Right.
juicy and
Juicy.
like meaty. And it wasn't like that at all, and I really liked it. So great job, Hatch. Good too.
I'm surprised I haven't had more beers that are like this, that are basically like kind
Yeah.
of toned down West Coast IPAs. So you get a little more of that citrus and a
Yeah,
little more of the less hops and more citrus kind of.
exactly. Maybe like this is more of the pale ale that I'm looking for is like that style. So, yeah, this thing was sweet.
I might give this one diamond, to be
You know
honest.
what? I was coming in at like a, platinum range, but like the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, I need to go buy more of this, which immediately makes it a diamond.
Like
So,
we've had so many pale ales that we gave platinum, and I think this one stands out to me. So
I'm definitely going to remember this one.
let's throw it in diamond.
Especially that like freaking chicken.
I know, right? And it
The
makes me want to
freaking chicken.
try like anything else by Hatch.
By Slake, you mean?
Sorry. By Slake, yes.
Yeah. I totally like I would go I haven't been to Prince Edward County in a while, but like I'll definitely look up where they are and maybe like go by, I don't know if I'll drive all the way there just to get a bunch of beer, but if I'm in the area, I'll stop by, Well, I'll check it out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Diamond. Great. Good beer
You need to
tonight.
be able to set an alert on your phone so that when you enter a geographic location,
Ooh,
it's
it'll
being
tell
like,
you.
you wanted to check out Hatch or God damn it, Slake. I don't know
It
why this can design makes me think that's the
does.
brewery name.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of ones that like say the brewery and then the name is down here or
Yeah,
whatever.
I guess.
Especially because when
Conditioned.
it says beer by Slake at the in the little teeny tiny bottom. That's so funny. Anyway, yeah,
This is
great
what's going to
stuff.
happen. I'm going to set an alarm on my phone and be like, check out Hatch Brewing. I'll never be able to find
Never be
it.
able to find it. I was like, my phone never tells me when I'm close by. It's like, because that doesn't exist. Oh, gosh. Anyway, diamonds for Hatch Brewery.
Everything they make.
It's amazing.
I need to check out more Hatch. By that, I mean like any beer called Hatch, I will try it, but nothing else by this brewery.
Disgusting. All right, let's go to closing time, Jeff. For everyone, if you want to talk to us, you can find us at Arena Regulars on Twitter and Instagram.
You may also find us on Arena itself. You know what? Playing God knows what format at this point. We would be under the username Arena Regulars Podcast.
That's right. Also, if you want to talk to me personally, you can find me at Twitch. I am streaming 4 days a week now. We're doing Monday to Thursday, both limited and constructed. Just find me. I'm regular underscore Zach. But Jeff, where can they find you?
Best place is our Discord channel. That's right. We have a Discord channel for the show. And on there, I go by regular Jeff. And the link for that is in the show notes.
That's
So go
right.
check it out.
Also, our Discord channel is free. You don't have to be a patron of our Patreon. We do have one if you feel so inclined to throw a few shillings our way as tips. We greatly appreciate that. You can find us the Arena Regulars on Patreon. But the best way to support the show, if you really want to, you can leave reviews, you can give us likes and subscribe to all those things. It's really helpful. But just tell your friends. Telling your friends about the show, growing the podcast. That's all we really want. We just want more people to hang out with and more people to draft cubes with. Which, if you're getting this late, we are doing a cube draft in a couple weeks, and we'll probably do a bit more of them if that one goes well. So come check us out in our Discord and come draft with us. It's gonna be a good time. This has been the Arena Regulars.
Reminding you that the winner of Arena Championship 5 will not be bringing Is It Phoenix to the Explorer event.
All right, we'll have to see. But good night. Right, that's fine.